All right. Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity to try to speak to you in the Lord's name this Wednesday evening. As I was preparing to try to speak to you, I asked that when I saw Brother John Mark Quarles join the Zoom meeting here, I almost messaged Brother James and asked him would he call him to pray, but that's the Lord in the matter. I appreciate that prayer that was offered by my brother, Brother John Mark Quarles, and I'm so thankful to have this opportunity.
Brother Ricky, I think you have gone mute.
What about it now? Okay. John chapter 8, verse 31. Thank you, Brother James. John chapter 8, verse 31. Appreciate the prayer, Brother John Mark Quarles. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" As Jesus is speaking to these Israelites here, he's talking about to these Jews. He tells them that if you know the truth makes you free, and they're not understanding what Jesus is talking about. They're talking about a physical bondage. What you have to realize is that's not true either. When they say we've been in bondage to no man, that is not true. and as a matter of fact, at this very moment that this is being said, they are under Roman rule. They are under Roman rule. And, you know, it was Herod who was the king at the time, and he was the one who sought for Jesus' life when he was born. And then when he was tried before another Roman emperor by the name of Pontius Pilate. So this is not a true statement. But what we want to try to get across to you this evening is that when he talks about bondage here, he's not talking about the type of bondage that they were talking about. In Exodus chapter 1, we see that the nation of Israel was in Egyptian bondage, and if I understand it correctly, they were in bondage for over 400 years. And let's turn there if we can to Exodus chapter 1, and we'll read about this bondage that they were in. Here's what it says, verse 11. This is Exodus chapter 1 and verse 11. And if you're concerned that I'm going to try to get this out of context, I'm not. I'm trying to prove to you, first, that they were under bondage. The nation of Israel had been under bondage many times. I want you to understand tonight they did not understand what Jesus was talking about. Excuse me. The type of bondage that he was talking about. And I also want to try to explain to you in the brief time that we have, what Jesus is talking about. Verse 11 of Exodus chapter, this is second book of Moses called Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, verse 11 says, "Therefore they did set over them taskmaster to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor." What we see there is the nation of Israel had gone down into Egyptian bondage and for 400 years, and we see that they were prospering under the Lord, but a matter of fact, the Bible says that the Egyptians saw that they were outnumbering them, even said they were stronger, so we see that they made their bondage even harder. So that shows to you that the nation of Israel had been in bondage when they were in bondage in Egypt's land. In Psalm 137, we find that they were in bondage one more time when it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So here's that 70 years of captivity that they were under in Babylon. So we see that this statement they're making when they say we've been in bondage to no man, that's not true, because once again, let's clarify this, that what they were, that they were under Roman rule at that present time when Jesus is speaking to them. What we have to understand about bondage is a servitude. It's being a slave. So we've got to understand that here this evening. So as we look, I will look at a couple of examples. There's people in bondage and they don't even know, just as these were in bondage. In Mark chapter 10, we find an example here in Mark chapter 10 of a man we often refer to as the rich young ruler. And I believe this young man was in bondage and didn't have a clue that he was in bondage, because he comes to the Lord and he says, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Friends, an inheritance is not something you earn. It's something you receive because of who you are. You don't earn an inheritance. An inheritance deals with relationship, being a child of someone. And in our case, it's being a child of God. And he says, verse 18, and Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these I have observed from my youth. He's pretty brave, pretty bold young man. He says, I've done all of that since my youth. I've taken care of that. I've done that. But there is a commandment that is omitted here by Jesus that says, thou shalt not covet. And if you will understand, Jesus is about to point that out to him. He says here, and I like this, friends, I like this. Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. He says, okay, you've done all of that. There's one thing else you need to do. You need to take your possessions, what you have, and you need to sell. But we're going to find out, friends, that he is in bondage to his possessions. Friends, I had a friend of mine call me last night from Bradenton, Florida. And all the things that's going on in our country right now, he asked me a question. And the question is what's going on in America, evil people doing evil, okay, evil people doing evil, or is it some good people who are doing evil? And we're talking about from a political standpoint. That was his question. Well, my answer is that it's both. There are those who are evil. They don't even see it as evil. They're in bondage to that thought. They have no thoughts of God and love and charity and compassion and peace. They don't have that in their heart. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But there are some, my friends, that do have this. They understand. Just as this young man, he knew some things. He was a child of God. That's important right here in this text. As we understand, I believe that he was a child of God, because verse 21 says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And I believe that everyone that Jesus loves is one of his children, my friends. And that is important to understand. Because look what happens. Look what happens in verse 22. He says, and he was sad at that saved, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Friends, I believe there's a lot of people in this world who are in bondage to so many things here in this life. And I won't go into great detail this afternoon, this evening, but you know in your own mind of those who are in bondage. They're in bondage to making more money. They're in bondage to their job. They're in bondage to their hobbies or whatever. I don't want to go much further there because I want to get to the point I really want to spend time with. But friends, we see that he was in bondage. Okay, there's a bondage here that God's children has. Over in Luke chapter 15, we read of a young man who I believe was a child of God because, friends, he left his father's house. And if you look at the whole parable that we call of the prodigal son, the lost son, the son that was lost, and the found son, or ever how you want to term it, you're going to find out that there's one thing that always existed here in this parable, and it was that he was always a son. He was always a son. He lost the fellowship. He lost the fellowship, my friends, with his father. But let me tell you, he didn't lose his father. And we know that. We know about the parable of the prodigal son, the prodigal child. But look what happens here. You know, he goes to his father, and he asks his father for his inheritance. And you don't do that, but he did. His father granted him that. And the Bible says that he wasted his substance on riotous living. I've often fathomed sometimes what that riotous living is, and I believe if you read a little more of the text there, you'll find out what some of it was. But, you know, I like what it says, when he had spent all, he spent everything he had. And I don't think it was just all that the money, that inheritance that he got, but he had spent himself. And he come to himself. He began to be in want. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in the fields to feed the pigs, the swine. And look what he says here in verse 17. He says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Friends, what do you think he felt? Do you feel like he felt like he was in bondage when he was wasting all his substance on riotous living? Did he feel like that he was enslaved to this type of life? Oh, I think he was having a great time. Oh, he was having a good time. I believe he had friends. He had those who wanted to join in wasting his substance. But where was his friends when all this came to an end? And there's a lot of God's children today who are wasting their substance on riotous living. Friends, they're in bondage. They're in bondage to the lust of the flesh. And friends, that's not a good place to be. But sometimes they don't even realize it, you see. That's the point I want to try to make here in this part. But let's move forward because I want to get to the main point here. Because of what he is talking about. What is Jesus talking about when he tells them there in John chapter 8? What is he trying to explain to them when he says, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin? That's in verse 34. And when he says in verse 31, says, if ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You see, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said, we're not in bondage. We're not in bondage. What were they in bondage to? What were they in bondage? What is he referencing? Well, friends, I believe he's talking about they were in bondage to the law. They were in bondage to the moral law. And they were in bondage, my friends, to the ceremonial law, which included circumcision and observances of days, and it involved sacrifices. And they were in bondage to that. They thought that's what gained them eternal salvation. And he told them, if you know the truth makes you free. See, we are free from that bondage. We understand that. The circumcision that they're talking about here in the ceremonial laws, we understand, my friends, that the circumcision here was of the flesh. But we understand that the real circumcision is of the heart. And Jesus Christ does that. In Ezekiel 36:26, he says, a new heart will I give thee. A new heart will I give you. You see, he does a heart surgery and doesn't leave a scar. He takes out a hard and stony heart and puts in a heart of flesh. And friends, that's solely the work of Jesus Christ. That is solely the work of the Lord. That's the circumcision. What about the observance of days and sacrifices? You know, if you want to learn about sacrifices, read the book of Hebrews. It tells you in so many places there that the offerings of the bullocks never atone for one sin. The lambs and the goats and the doves and the pigeons and everything that the people would bring to be sacrificed, it never atoned for one sin. And the priest did it twice a day, every day of the year except for one day. And then they went once into the holiest of holies on that day and actually went three times and offered three sacrifices. Friends, that's a lot of sacrifices that never atone for one sin. And if you're trying to understand by me sacrificing some animal that that's going to gain eternal salvation, you're in bondage to it, because you see, Jesus Christ was a sacrifice and he offered himself to God. Oh, he offered himself to God as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Let's turn, if we will, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I'm not quite to where I want to go, but I do want to read this verse here in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. See, there are so many people today who said, you know, they say when I get to where I'm certain age, I'm going to move out and I'm going to be free to do whatever I want to do. I can just make my own decisions. Nobody can tell me what to do. And I will just go out my life. Let me say this. This is something that I thought about today. If we were to take a train and send it out on the interstate out here, Interstate 55, the train is free. But where would it go without its tracks? Without direction, you see. Without guidance, a place to direct it. Because, you know, it runs on rails. What about a ship? We put a ship out on the sea, and we took the rudder off. Oh, it's free to go anywhere it can float. But it can't be steered in the direction it needs to go. Can it go in the right direction? See, many people say, well, I'm free to do it. They don't understand you're still in bondage sometimes in some type of shape, form, or fashion. But now let's get down to what I do want to talk about. Because I want to talk about what he's talking about. And that's found in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. There's a problem at the church of Galatia. And Paul writes to them. I love what chapter 3, verse 1 says. Says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, for whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Then he says in verse 2, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And then he says, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Some of the church of Galatia wanted to go back to the law. And Paul is trying to tell them, when you have grace and you have law, grace is so much better. Because in chapter 5, verse 1, here's what he says. To stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, that's what Jesus Christ is talking about. He's talking about them being in bondage to the law. He's not talking about them being in bondage to Rome. He's not talking about them being in bondage back in the days of Moses and Abraham and them when they were in bondage in Egypt's land. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the bondage here that they want to go back under the law. And the law is bondage. The moral law is bondage. The moral law. Because if you are guilty of one part of the moral law, then you are guilty of the whole. When you believe that the ceremonial law, that the sacrifice of bulls and goats will save you eternally, you're in bondage. See, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. That's what it says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. And Ephesians 2 and 8, it says the same thing. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So see, we understand, my friends, that what he's talking about that liberty that Jesus Christ brought with the shedding of his blood. My friends, that's what he's talking about. And why would you want to grace? Why would you want to be under grace and then go back to the law? Why would you want to go back to something that puts you in bondage? There's many preachers. I've already seen them here on this Zoom meeting tonight. And how many of you, you preacher brethren tonight that's listening, how many of you could go to sleep tonight believing that someone's eternal salvation rested upon you going to present the gospel to them? You had to go preach the gospel to them. They had to receive it and believe it, my friends. How many of you could sleep tonight? But you see, that's bondage. I'm a good sleeper. I'm one of the best. I'm one of the best sleepers I know. But let me tell you something. If I thought the eternal life of those that I truly, dearly love rested in my hands, that would be bondage. You see, it's not of works. It's not by fulfilling the moral law. It's not by the ceremonial law and sacrificing the blood of bulls and goats and heifers. My friends, that's not what it's about. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell them, that you're in bondage. If you knew the truth makes you free. Friends, I believe that all the preachers, Elder Mark Quarles, that's on here tonight, I believe they will sleep well tonight because they understand, my friends, that it's not about what we're doing. The Lord is taking care of that. We're not in that bondage. What about yourself? But you've got to fulfill each law to a jot and a tittle. You've got to do it. Each moral law. That gets so mind-boggling. And I don't want to be under that. Friends, he says here, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. One last place I want to go to, and there's quite a few places I could go to tonight. But I want to go to one last place. Be mindful of the time here. I want to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And end here in verse 15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Let's back up to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's who he's talking about. Those who are led by the Spirit. And if you're led by the Spirit, he says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Because that's what this bondage leads to. It leads to fear. It leads to fear. Am I doing the right thing? Am I keeping the law this way? Am I sacrificing right? Am I living right? Did I do everything right today? Did I hold out to the end? Did I persevere to the end? But look what he says in verse 16. He says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, what a blessing it is. That's not bondage, my friends. That's freedom. When you understand the Spirit within you. I know there's times that probably each and every one of you that's on here this evening feels like you're not a child of God. But there are times that the Spirit is dwelling within you. And it is telling you that you are a son of God. Oh, friend, it bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I like what 17 says. And of children and heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Friends, he's trying to tell these Jews here about what bondage is. They don't understand it. There's a lot today who don't understand grace. Oh, they get so far off from grace. They see it as a form of being able to do whatever you want to do as far as the carnal pleasures of this world. So that's bondage. No, grace is free to serve him and to worship him and to love his people and love his children and love fellowshipping together. I appreciate the prayer once again so much by Brother John Mark Quarles and looking for the day that we can actually fellowship one with another. But you know how, what a blessing it is to see my precious brethren from North Carolina, from the East Coast, North Carolina, all the way to the West Coast of California and all points in between. What a blessing it is. I pray this evening that you've gotten something what I've tried to bring before you. I ask that you cast a mantle of charities over me and my imperfections. And I do appreciate so much the invite to try to speak to you this evening and pray the Lord will take it as he did the five loaves and the two small fishes. And he will take it and he will bless it and it will give you something to think about. And may we look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Brother James.